welcome back to another episode of Better English, Better Business, the podcast for German professionals wishing to improve their business English. My name is Daniel Nickel, and as always, once again, I am joined by my co-host, Mr. Patrick Fabian. Hello, Patrick. How are you today?
Wonderful as always.
That is wonderful to hear. Is it a good day today?
Well, I'm having a déjà vu.
Oh, yeah?
Ooh, how it feels could that like be? We did that already.
Oh, did we?
Yeah,
maybe
I'm not
we've
sure.
done this every week for the last 60-something weeks.
60-something weeks?
Not including last week. We did it again, Patrick. I don't know if we're getting lazy or if we're just getting busy. We missed another episode last week, didn't we?
Oops.
It happens. You were busy. I was busy.
Yeah.
Nadia was busy.
So yeah. Everyone was busy.
Uh-huh. Nadia, shout out to Nadia. Is he well? I haven't spoken to him in a while. I hope he's well. Yeah, he's busy. Yeah, okay. Well, nothing wrong with being busy. Busy's good. Now,
sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah.
You can be busy and just still do not accomplish something. That's
problematic. That's unproductive. So I hope he's being productively busy.
Yes, of course.
Like a busy bee.
Busy bee.
Busy bees. Oh, yeah.
When I went to the UK, there was a lovely small garage where I filled up the car with gas, and it was called the Busy Bee Garage.
The Busy Bee Garage.
It was so nice.
Yeah, it's a little, I even call it an idiom. It's a play on words. We use that quite often in English too.
I know.
To describe people who are productively busy. Oh, he's a busy bee, getting things done. So do you use that in German as well or anything similar? Probably not.
Don't you can use er war ein fleißiges Bienchen.
Ah, okay. That's the same thing.
We have
okay.
That.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Ah, sounds cooler in English though, doesn't it? Busy bee.
Most things.
Ein fleißiges Bienchen. I don't know.
It's very harsh in German.
Yeah, doesn't what hard to sound cool or what?
Honestly, that's also the case.
we'll forgive the Germans. They didn't invent their language. they influenced the English language enough as it is anyway. So anyway,
you bring it down to an uncool state.
Yeah, that's right. Couldn't let them get too cool. Anyway.
The fall of the English language.
Oh, that's right. It will be the fall of it. Speaking of fall, we have the month of October, which is right in the middle of what the Americans like to call fall and what the British would normally refer to, also in Australia, as autumn with a silent N at the end. Autumn. I don't know if you can hear that the way I say it. A-U-T-U-M-N at the end. Anyway, so we're now right in the middle of autumn, and we haven't really had the chance to do an autumn episode yet. No. So I thought it might be interesting to have a little look at the wondrous days of autumn and the language of autumn and maybe how we use that in both our personal and business language. So let's jump right in. Are you a fan of autumn, Patrick?
I love autumn.
You love autumn. That's great to hear. Wonderful. How do you feel? How do you feel when autumn arrives? It's an interesting question. How do you feel when it arrives?
Usually, for me, autumn begins when I'm back from my summer holidays.
Okay.
And this is the
mid-August.
There were a lot of bad summers in the past.
Okay.
But yeah, not technically, but emotionally. So, and autumn is the segue to Christmas, my favorite season.
It's funny. I think of it as the segue to winter, but you're just looking. you're like a little child. You're looking forward to Christmas.
I love my Christmas. Yeah. I need my decorations.
Just like your Disneyland. I need my childhood heroes. Yeah, whether it's Donald Duck or Santa Claus, give them to me.
Whatever. Yeah. And then it can go to spring because I do not need January and February as winter season.
I love January.
I hate it.
Oh, I love it because I'm a I'm a summer child. You know that?
Which part of the earth, summer child?
Well, exactly. So it's been in summer kind. Is that one of
those? Yeah, you can say that.
My birthday's
Australian summer.
Australian summer. My birthday's in January.
Our Christmas or your
January. Yeah, that's why I love January, because my birthday's there. So I have another little extra thing to look forward to after Christmas the lovely month of January in summer. Yeah.
Okay.
It's summer in my head. Yeah. So, all right. So your autumn for you, at least mentally, kind of starts after your summer vacation, whether that be in July, August, whatever, or later in September, it doesn't matter. But then you get back into work and you're kind of now looking towards the end of the year. I guess from a business perspective, that's always important.
It's always
after the summer. It's the end of the year.
In general, you would say Endspurt des Jahres.
End run.
Yeah.
Well, that has to be another expression.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good.
The final sprint.
Yeah.
The final sprint. That's better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So basically, it's where most of the magic happens for us in our business.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone is busy. Everyone is back from holiday. Everyone wants to do something before the year ends,
mm-hmm,
to show something, to change the overall numbers and whatnot. And that falls into the period of autumn and beginning of winter later on. But usually it's the period of time where it drizzles, where it's cold, where it's windy, and I have no motivation whatsoever to be outside. So I like it. I always like to hear the drizzling rain and the stormy weather.
We've had a lot of rain this autumn too. It's been a wet, for me, it's felt like a wet year so far.
Wet year.
Yeah.
I think. So my grass in my garden says that's correct,
uh-huh,
because it stayed all year green. And usually it is a yellowish,
light brown, yellow.
Light brown.
It dries out with a lot of dust. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, starting with July.
No, that's very true. For me too. Yeah. In my garden, my lawn
is
always...
It looks like Irish hills.
Oh, that's a lovely way of describing your lawn. It looks like the Irish hillside. Yeah? All right. How do you find that... So the seasonal changes impact productivity in the workplace? Do you notice a difference?
Oh, yeah. That's a tough one. So usually everyone is motivated in spring. So because winter's over, everyone gets a rush of adrenaline and motivation in spring. Mm-hmm. That keeps going until summer. But summer, has the problem with the high heat because we have no AC in our... we had no AC, now we have one. And that, kills a little bit of the motivation. But come autumn,
everybody's exhausted.
Now, autumn is a special place. So, end of summer, or in the summer period, you're usually exhausted from the year, from everything you've done, and from the heat, mm-hmm, and you go to your vacation.
No, you go on your vacation.
Ah, damn. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I go to a place, but on my vacation.
Exactly.
Basically, I go on my vacation, and in Baden-Württemberg, where we are located, that is quite late for everyone who's has children in the school. And usually, once you are out of the vacation, fall hits. I love fall. My colleagues, not really. My employers are not. Usually not a fan of that because they like to drive their bike.
Drive their bikes?
No.
Ride their bikes. Think Queen.
I like to ride my bicycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I know. I don't. Nevertheless.
well corrected. Not me. I don't. Not I not. Well,
so,
done.
For them, it's a little bit... Yeah, sad. But for me, it's good. But even though it's more cozy, I think, than summer.
More cozy?
Yeah.
More cozy?
Cozier.
Cozier. Comparative adjective. Well done. Mm-hmm.
Cozier. Yeah, not more cozy.
Cozier. Yeah, that's right.
It's flu season. Flu season is beginning. So currently we have that in our firm. So everyone is coughing and feeling a little bit feverish.
Oh, okay. Do you have a lot of people off sick? That's also an article I read just recently. So it's the highest sick rate in Germany. Yeah. I don't know, ever or recently. I'm not sure.
This year, the flu season hasn't
even really kicked in yet.
No. Yeah. I will have my shots, I think, next or week after.
Okay.
But everyone around me was sick already.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Whatever that was.
And this is why you love autumn, yeah?
No, that's not what I love. You said, what are you feeling towards?
No, this is right. I know.
That is the only downside for me.
Let's get back to the actual question. Sorry. How do the seasonal changes impact productivity in the workplace?
Okay. Productivity.
That's all right.
So I think, because the people are well rested from their vacation, it's good. Mm-hmm. But being more or less, flu season or sick month, or however you might call that, it could reduce productivity a bit.
Yeah, yeah. But I can also imagine, people coming back after the vacation, they've had their time outdoors, they're maybe a little happier to sit inside, look out the window while they're doing a bit of work, particularly people that work in front of a computer all day. I mean, this differs across different professions. But I could imagine that.
For my team, it's the same than for me. If it rains outside, you do not want to go to a Baggersee.
No. You're not sitting there thinking, I can't wait to get out of here and go to the lake.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Baggersee in English? I mean.
Artificial lake.
Well, you could just keep it simple and say it's a lake. Let's just go to the lake. I think that's the simplest way to say it. However, technically speaking, it would be a lake quarry or a quarry lake. You could say either or. The quarry is somewhere where we dig up rock, sand, earth, whatever. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
All right. Look, I'm going to throw out a couple of idioms. We'll come back to talking about autumn at the moment. I thought it would be good to look at a few idioms, as we often do, and then have a quick chat about a little grammar point, which I'd like to discuss. But first of all, some idioms. Here we go. Number one, I'm just going to throw them out there. And in fact, we'll do it this way today. I'll say the German idiom. See if you can translate it into English. Or should we do it the other way around? What would you prefer today, Patrick?
Let's try it with the German one and I try to find the English.
All right.
Because honestly, the other way around seems sometimes a little bit more problematic for me.
Yeah, idioms always are, because until you hear it, it's not really in your head sometimes. Same with me in English.
Before we move on.
Yeah.
If someone honks, I need to jump outside because our car is in the driveway. I need to park that, but I just wanted to stop our recording again.
I'm sure our audience won't mind.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, if it honks, Patrick has to go and park his car, but you won't notice because he'll be as quick as a flash because of the power of editing on a podcast. Nadia, you can leave that in. All right.
You may proceed.
let's jump into some idioms for everybody. All right. German. Let's see if I can say it correctly. The first one, etwas auf die hohe Kante legen. Or etwas auf die hohe Kante legen.
Etwas auf die hohe Kante legen. Well, yeah. I don't know the English idiom for that. It's to save something.
Think of a little animal that likes to run around the garden and put things away.
Ah, damn. You mean a squirrel?
Yeah. Say it again.
Squirrel.
Oh, not bad. It's a hard word for most people to say. Squirrel. Squirrel. And we actually use it as a verb in this idiom. It's to squirrel something away.
I will never use that.
That's a funny one. I can go squirrel it away for another day. Yeah? Squirrel it away for another day. It's a tough one to get your mouth. It's like Eichhörnchen for me. That was a tough word that for me to learn when I first came to Germany. My good friend Till wrote two words on a piece of paper for me and said, "Daniel, try and say this." He was having a bit of a laugh. Yeah, one of them was Eichhörnchen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I struggled, finally got there with some help, of course. The next one was Streichholzschächtelchen.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
That was a tough one.
Das Streichholzschächtelchen.
Yeah, you say it so well. All right. Next one. Let's move on. Number two, die Früchte seiner Arbeit ernten. Oder deiner Arbeit ernten. Die Früchte deiner Arbeit ernten.
I'm not quite sure if it's used with, also, it's fruit of your labor, I think.
Yeah.
But I'm not quite sure if it's earn or...
Ernten. What's ernten in English? It's almost direct translation. Well, it is, if you know the word. And I know you know the word. As soon as I say it, you'll go, duh, of course. Yeah?
Harvest.
Well done. So use that as the verb and put the idiom together.
Ah, harvest the fruits of your labor.
Well done. Hey, perfect. To harvest the fruits of your labor. So, for example, in business, after a challenging quarter, we finally harvested the fruits of our labor with these new clients. All right. Ein neues Kapitel aufschlagen.
Kapitel.
Kapitel. Thank you.
Nicht Kapitel.
Thank you. Ein Kapitel. Neues Kapitel aufschlagen.
Kapitel.
Kapitel. Kapitel.
Mm-mm.
Ne? Was habe ich falsch gesagt?
Yeah, you always use the second syllable for your pronunciation.
Capital. Capital.
Capital.
Capital. Capital.
Yes.
So it should, sorry, it should be on the second syllable.
Yeah.
Is the stress.
Capital.
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 Capital. Is that correct?
No, let's move on.
No, I want to know how to say it correctly. Capital. Come on, help me. Capital.
Nein. Capital.
Kapitel.
Yeah.
Ding, ein ding. Neues Kapitel aufschlagen.
Yes.
Oh, that's better. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, it is the chapter.
Yeah, but we're going to look at something else. We also, I mean, I guess it's kind of related to autumn or fall. Mm-hmm. You could also argue that it's related more to spring. So I'll give it to you because we had it also in our spring vocabulary this year, but it came up in my list of idioms again. To turn over a new leaf.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, we had that.
Mm-hmm. Only a couple more. Man erntet, was man sät. Classic in German, also in English.
You harvest what you see?
Yeah, that would be the logical thinking after what we last talked about. So with the direct translation of ernten. However, here in the English idiom, we say you reap what you sow.
Oh, the grim reaper.
The grim reaper. So to reap is also to harvest. Yeah,
you
reap.
Okay.
Reap the harvest. All right. So you reap what you sow. We took a risk on the new market strategy and now we're starting to reap what we sowed.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Der Apfel fällt nicht weit vom Stamm. Vom Stamm. Der vom Apfel Stamm. Fällt nicht weit vom Stamm.
Nicht.
Nicht.
Oh, nice one.
You're getting me on my German. It's great. You've got to teach me more German, Patrick, here on this podcast, just for our listeners who don't know how to speak German yet. Der Apfel fällt nicht weit vom Stamm. Besser?
Yep. That's no... Is that a... Yeah, that's no word-for-word translation, isn't it?
Close. 50-50.
Oh.
Or...
Yeah, the 80, apple 20. Doesn't fall far from the tree.
Yeah, the apple
it's
doesn't
the
fall
tree,
far.
It's the tree, not the
exactly,
trunk.
Not the what? Stamm. What's
the trunk.
Stamm? The trunk. Well
tree
done.
Trunk.
Like the tree trunk, like an elephant, also has a trunk.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Two more. Ein aufziehendes Unwetter.
I lost it.
That's all right. The gathering storm.
A gathering storm.
The gathering storm. There's a gathering storm of competition in this sector and we need to prepare. All right. Two more. Das Feld bereiten.
I had to clear the field.
to plow the field.
And plow the field, okay.
Mm-hmm. In English, we plow the field. Before we launch this product, we need to plow the field and get everything ready for a smooth rollout. And the last one, sich aufs Ohr hauen.
To take a break.
Not bad. In the context of to go to bed or rest after a long day, often signaling the end of a busy period. I hit something in English.
Hit the hay?
Yeah, well done. Let's hit the hay.
Okay.
We've closed that big deal now. It's time to hit the hay and celebrate tomorrow.
Nice.
If it's nice and late at night. All right. Lovely. Now, a few idioms. We might be able to bring a couple of these into the discussion a little bit later. I still have some more questions. But first of all, just a grammar point for everybody. And we've spoken about this tense many times over the past, but I'll never stop talking about it because I know it is one tense that many of us still have so many problems with. And it's always good to practice what we have problems with. And the tense I wanted to check out today or just explore is the present perfect.
Oh, that makes me tense.
Nice play on words, my friend. All right. So the present perfect, as we've previously discussed, is used in English to describe actions that have happened at an unspecified time in the past and are still relevant to the present. So it's connecting the past with the present. Another way to think about it, the time period is not finished yet. This week is not finished. So all the things that I have done this week are finished, but they're connected with now because this week isn't finished. And that's in contrast to last week, which is finished, which is when I would then choose to use the past simple. Yeah. Last week I did many things. I'm tripping over my words today. Last week I did many things. This week I have done many things. So if we break this down into how we construct the present perfect, we use the verb have or has for third person singular, plus the past participle, otherwise known as the third form. I have done, I have seen, I have been, I have finished my work. She has saved money for the winter. And for the negatives, it's similar. We just add the word not, have not becomes haven't, has not becomes hasn't. So here's a couple of uses of it. I've already expressed it a little bit, but let's just go through it. Actions or experiences that happened at the unspecified time in the past. For example, have you, Patrick, have you ever squirreled away money for the future?
Of course.
Well, answer in a full sentence and try and use the present perfect.
Yes, I did.
Yes, I have.
Yes, I have.
Yes, I have squirreled lots of money away for the future, I hope.
So-and-so.
So-and-so is a good answer. All right. Have you reaped anything from what you've sowed with any recent projects?
Oh, that's a thinker.
That is a thinker, isn't it?
Does it qualify that the company is quite old and we have long relationships to our clients? Then that might be true.
Well, then you have... Okay,
Then we reaped a lot of rewards or...
Well, we have reaped.
We have reaped a lot. That's a tricky one.
This is a tricky one, but let's say, so we are reaping them now, you could say, from things that we have sowed for the past 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
For example. But that's an interesting one because it also illustrates the point that the unfinished time period I was using as an example before I was saying this week and last week, unfinished and finished. It doesn't really matter how large that time period is. It could be decades. It could be 100 years. In the last 100 years, we have developed as a society a lot. So,
because we are still not finished to do so.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So anything which is continuing from any time in the past, be it 2 days, a week, 100 years, or 1,000 years, up until now, if it's up until now, it's always the present perfect. It's not finished. All right. So another time we might use the present perfect is for actions that started in the past and continue to the present. So we have, and this is a confusing one because we can also often also use the present perfect continuous for this because we're focusing on the action. And I'll give you two examples. So we have saved money every autumn for the past 5 years. It's the action. I could also say we have been saving money every autumn for the last 5 years. Or they have turned over a new leaf and started working more efficiently this season. In that context, I wouldn't use the present perfect continuous. So let's look at a few examples using now some of the idioms that we practiced before. So let's start with the verb to squirrel something away. I have squirreled away some profits this year to prepare for the slow winter season. That's what I've done. So if you're expecting business to maybe get down slow, I hope that you have all sowed something away. Oh, sorry, all not squirreled sold. Something away. Squirreled. Yeah. I don't know what's going on today.
You need to reap it in to squirrel it away.
Yeah, I need to sow something to reap.
Yes, but you also need to reap it before you can squirrel it away.
Well, that's true. So you need to reap what you sow and then you squirrel a little. I can't even say the word
that's
now.
That's hard.
Yeah.
Hey, you chose these words.
I know. Yeah. Tripping over my own English tongue. Because the next one is to reap what you sow. So we have reaped what we sowed after investing in employee training all year, and now it's time to squirrel it all away. There you go. I'm back using your example. Well done. To turn over a new leaf. So she has turned over a new leaf and become more organized since autumn began. To nip something in the bud. We didn't have this before, but here's another idiom. We have nipped the issues in the bud by addressing customer complaints early. So these are all things that we have done. Now, I just wanted to talk about this tense because this is, for me, autumn is a great time to use the present perfect because we're often thinking about what have we done so far this year and what still needs to be done for the rest of the year. But when we're looking back at the past, this year is heading towards the end, but far from finished. So it's really good to use this tense and practice this tense, particularly when we reflect on what has been done. Now, I don't want to do really any more grammar things today. I think that's enough. And I know we're going to wrap things up soon. So let's just get back to the theme of autumn. We might see if we can throw in some of the idioms that we have looked at today, present perfect, and even if see if we can throw in the use of the present perfect in this tense maybe a little bit. So first of all, Patrick, could you describe your perfect autumn day?
Ooh.
But here's the twist. I want you to try and use at least 3 autumn-related words. Or idioms. Oh, I didn't do the words before, like foliage, crisp, harvest, leaves. Just explain. Okay. Describe your favorite autumn day.
So there's nothing better than a crisp fall morning with a lot of thunder.
Thunder?
And thunder and stormy weather.
Okay.
To go to work. And be motivated while it is windy and leaves are blowing through the streets.
Aha. And that's the perfect start to a working day for you in autumn, isn't it?
Yeah, for me.
All right.
If I arrive safely.
So if I would look at my discussion questions I've noted down here, it's describe your perfect autumn day and where would you go? And what would you do? So you've also you've answered all of those things.
That's
all
right. Not the perfect day, sir. It's the usual day.
The perfect day.
Honestly, my perfect fall day or autumn day. A fall day sounds like hospital, but my perfect autumn day. I think that would be just cozy it away.
Cozy it away. That's a nice way of putting it.
I think that doesn't exist, but it could be.
tucked up inside under a blanket, cozy it away. Why not? Let's coin the expression. That's a nice one. Okay.
Yeah. And with my family and watch TV or play some board games.
Okay.
While drinking tea.
Okay. For me, it's a little different. I favorite autumn day for me would be the sun is out, the trees are golden, yellow. I love it. And I would go for a walk somewhere where there's forest and trees. I love walking through the forest when the sun is shining.
It smells good.
It smells wonderful. And what I love in Germany is the new wine. I love going out and getting
that's
a bit
good.
Of new wine and going for a walk. And yeah, Zwiebelkuchen. That's wonderful things at this time of the year. Or just going for a coffee somewhere or drinking a nice tea as well is also lovely. Yeah.
Do you have something similar like that? Onion cake?
Onion cake? No, yeah. Not in Australia. It's,
okay, that's quite true.
That's very German. Yeah. If it's in other cultures around the world, I'm honestly not 100% sure. So in my experience, that's I learned about it in Germany. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, going for a walk in the forest, in amongst the colors, the smells, the fresh air. And again, I mean, I've spoken in previous episodes about present perfect, trying to pick out the tenses, about my physical activities. And I love going for walks in the morning with my weight on my back. And autumn for me is one of the best times of year to be doing that. I love it, starting off a day like that. Now, just moving on to a business side of things, if you could plan a perfect autumn work day or team building activity.
Ooh, team building.
Mm-hmm. What would it look like?
Ooh, honestly, because no one wants to go outside, I think a team building event like an exit game would be something.
Okay.
That could be something cool because mm-hmm. it is indoor. It is interesting. It's motivating. And weather is no issue.
Mm-hmm.
So it could also be in winter, but still nice.
All right. Last question. How has today's episode, notice I'm using present perfect, it's a grammar question. How has today's episode helped you improve your English?
I hope it has helped me.
What have you learned from today's episode? Not much, probably. It's just a little chat. That's all right.
Well, actually, I've learned that I still have problems with my grammar. And also, it's totally difficult to name that, these tenses.
Oh, that's all right. But that's not really important in the end when for all our listeners out there.
If you nail it, or if you know, then it's okay.
The important thing is when we're here is just what is your takeaway? Okay, so tenses, yeah, okay, I can't name them perfectly. Who cares? But Daniel said something about present perfect and time's unfinished. Okay, these little things.
Yeah.
And then when you get out there, Patrick, and everybody else, forget about it all and just talk. Use the language. Have fun with it. And don't worry about being perfect.
Well, present perfect.
Touche. All right. Patrick, nice to have a chat as always. Next week is Halloween. Yeah, we will be releasing our next episode on Halloween this year.
Halloween.
That's right. So I think next week we'll have a little talk about all things spooky and scary and frightfully awesome in the English language. And we'll have a little bit of talk about Halloween traditions here, et cetera, mm-hmm. and around the world. And actually, a little bit of homework for you. Mm-hmm. You up for some homework?
What?
Are you up for some homework, a little task?
Let's see about that. Let's
see how you do.
Yeah.
I'm interested in Halloween spending in Germany.
Oh.
I think it's an interesting thing. Any informational stats or data we can find on that in comparison to other holidays? It's an interesting point. Yeah?
Let's see about that. I think it's increasing, but I need to do my little research on that.
Okay. There you go. That's your homework. See if you can teach us about Halloween spending next week. Anything you can find. If you get the chance.
I hope we have something from one of the biggest statistics organizations.
Ah, cool. That'd be an interesting one. Let's have a look. Okay?
Okay.
Wonderful.
Until then.
Until then, Patrick. See you next week.
Until then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.